Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you here. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him and to fellowship together. And are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text this morning is 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through 37. And I shall read portions of the text as the message proceeds, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 and follow along through verses 8 through 7 as I read various sections during the course of the message. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Do you ever wonder if you have made a mark on the world? After you die, will it matter that you lived on this earth? Today we shall study a woman from Shunem to see the qualities she possessed which made her someone who made a mark on those around her and who exemplified God's characteristics in her life. She is nameless. Our NIV, New International Version of the Bible, says that she was well-to-do. The American Standard, King James, and New King James Versions of God's Word state that she was great. Talking about making your mark in God's divine word, which will endure for eternity, this unnamed woman is mentioned, and in some versions is called great. First, let us look at what the Shunammite woman was not. Nothing in the text indicates that she was of royal blood, of great wealth, had rank or high social standing. There's no evidence she possessed superior knowledge or was strikingly beautiful or did any act to save her people or lead her people to God or was a great leader or judge or was the mother of a child who became great. And all of these identifiers that I've said she would not are identifiers of women in the Bible. But this woman is not stated as possessing any of these qualities or performing any of these acts. So why is she the subject of our message today? The reason is we can learn greatness by imitating the traits which characterize this woman's existence. Let's look at our text, 2 Kings chapter 4, and read verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. The woman in this town was there when Elisha would arrive, this little town called Shunem. And his job was traveling from town to town, promoting God's will. Elisha, the prophet, was a traveling preacher. And a woman in Shunem, for whatever reason, was willing to feed the preacher. So trait one, which characterizes the Shunammite woman's greatness, is her spirit of service. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. This woman now proposes to provide living quarters for Elisha when he enters Shunem to preach and evangelize. The text doesn't mention the woman's name, but it identifies specifically items of furniture that will be in the room that she prepared for Elisha. So this is the first reason for her greatness, her service to others. News regarding her providing Elisha with room and board probably did not make the front page of the Shunem Gazette. It's doubtful that anyone in the town even knew about her actions or took notice. One who did take notice of her actions was God. Often today we struggle with the trait of service. Many believe that it has to be some great act in order to be worthy of an act of service. If it's not a newsworthy deed, such as saving a life, we think it is not worth the effort. But what type of service does God expect from us as his children? Let me tell you, if a neighbor is sick and needs a hot meal, it's not necessary to announce to everyone that you're going to take them a meal. You just take it. If a family has children who need clothes and shoes in the winter, you just give them to them. If we know someone is going through a tough time, we just be there for them. We serve God unintrusive into the limelight without any great fanfare, without standing like the Pharisee on the corner and announcing the great and wonderful deeds of service we propose to do. Trait number two, which characterizes the Shunammite woman's greatness, is her contentment. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." Think about this section of our text. Elisha had been staying in this nicely furnished little room prepared by the Shunammite woman. He is appreciative and he offers to speak on her behalf to the king or to the commander of his army if she needs a favor. She might ask for a government job. She might want to be on the king's staff and on the king's payroll. She might be seeking some type of governmental assistance. We know she's not wealthy, not rich. But her response in verse 13 is, in effect, "I appreciate your offer, but I have a home. My basic needs are provided. I really do not need anything." She's not rich. She's not living a high lifestyle. She could have bettered herself from accepting Elijah's offer, yet she did not, because she was content with her life. We live in a society today, and we've talked about this from time to time from this pulpit, that wants more, more, more. We desire a bigger home, a higher paying job, a better, newer model car, and on the list continues. We remember God's people, the Israelites, were in bondage in Egypt. And they were not content. So God parts the Red Sea and has Moses lead the Israelites from Egypt into the wilderness. They gripe and they complain about no water. So God provides water. They complain about no food, so God provides manna from heaven. They complain that they're tired of the manna, so God provides quail, and they eat so much quail that they become sick, and they complain about the quail making them sick. So what is the secret to being content, to be a contented person, a contented servant of God? The secret to being content is perspective. It's not how much money we have in the bank, the size of our house, or the model car we drive. It has nothing to do with what we possess. No matter what we possess, there are many people in society who would still be discontented, wanting more. So what is the correct perspective? I think we need to go back to the old illustration of a glass half full of water. What do we see in that glass? A contented person will see a glass half full of water rather than a glass that's half empty. It's about being content with what we do have rather than being discontented about what we don't have. And this is true of the Shunammite woman's response. She is looking at what she had rather than griping about what she didn't have. She says, I'm fine. Trait three, which characterizes the Shunammite woman's greatness, is her attitude of everything is all right. Let's look at verses 14 through 26. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elijah said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elijah said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told his servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When asked by her husband, why are you going to see the prophet? She said, it's all right. When asked by Gehazi, Elijah's servant, what was wrong? She said, everything is all right. Was everything all right? Certainly by no means. She knew her son was dead, a son for whom she had not asked, a son she had grown to love, a son who had died in her arms that very day. I have never lost a child. It's something I cannot comprehend. Connie's mother, we called her Nanny, used to try to express what it was like. She had lost her oldest daughter when she was in her 40s. And she couldn't even begin to tell you how much it hurt, how much the pain was there. But people who have experienced such a loss, who are able to deal with it, say they can do so because of faith. Dr. David Jeremiah, who is teaching our Bible study on Wednesday, talks about losing a child, and he says your faith should be that you will hold that child again in your arms in heaven if you are saved. Was all well with the Shunammite woman's household? No. The son is dead. His mother knew it. She asked Elijah to do something unprecedented. She doesn't know whether he would do it or not, but she indicates what she wants done. Verses 27 through 28, if we look at those. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? She's asking Elijah to do an unprecedented act of saving her dead son. The number one reason this Shunammite woman was great in the eyes of God was her unshakable faith. How often do we today place our faith in our money, our power, our own intellect, in family traditions, and don't place it in God? Paul said, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. We can handle tragedy and sickness and even death if we but have faith that God is with us. And finally, trait number four, which characterizes the Shunammite woman's greatness, is her faithfulness. If you look at verses 29 through 30. Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Elijah was a man of God, a prophet of God. And to the woman from Shunem, he was her direct link with God. And no matter what the end result regarding her son, no matter what the outcome, live or die, she was not forsaking God. We all have known someone who, when faced with tragedy, turned to God and they prayed, and yet when events did not work out as they wished, They blamed God and turned their back on him. God hears and answers our prayers. We've talked about that before. We've studied that in Sunday school and in Bible study. But sometimes we do not like the answer. Sometimes we don't understand the answer. And this does not mean that God is against us or punishing us. His will for a greater purpose in our life is often difficult for us to discern. No matter the outcome, no matter the end result for us in certain situations, we must tell God, I will not leave you. And now we come to the end of the story, verses 31 through 37. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. The ending of this story, of course, is a classic, and the outcome is not the focal point of our message today. If you wish your life to count for something, you don't need to perform some great deed and have a street or building named after you. You need not create some great invention which benefits the world. You need not make tons of money, live in the biggest house, or drive the fanciest car. What must we do to be great as a child of God? We must perform little acts of service the world never notices. We must go through life with a spirit of contentment. We must have faith, such a faith that no matter what happens to us and our family, we can say everything is all right. And no matter the outcome, we must never leave God. If you can't say that today as a child of God, you need to get on your knees when you get home or pray as we are singing a hymn of invitation that God will forgive you, maybe for not being content, maybe for wanting more and more, maybe for not performing services to your fellow man, maybe for not having the faith, and maybe for having at some point in your walk with him turned your back on him and blamed him because you did not get the answer to prayers that you wanted. And if you are not a child of God, you can come this morning and profess your sins and repent of them and ask God to accept you as a child, and he'll do so. And then you can know and can be a servant as this woman from Shunem was. Please come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 275, I Surrender.